because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. Again the Jews picked up stones to stone him, but Jesus said to them, I have shown you many great miracles from the Father. For which of these do you stone me? We are not stoning you for any of these, replied the Jews, but for blasphemy, because you, a mere man, claim to be God. Jesus answered them, Is it not written in your law, I have said you are gods? If he called them gods, to whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, what about the one whom the Father set apart as his very own and sent into the world? Why then do you accuse me of blasphemy because I said, I am God's son? Do not believe me unless I do what the Father does. But if I do it, even though you do not believe me, believe the miracles, that you may know and understand that the Father is in me and I in the Father. Again they tried to seize him, but he escaped their grasp. Then Jesus went back across the Jordan to the place where John had been baptizing in the early days. Here he stayed, and many people came to him. They said, though John never performed a miraculous sign, all that John said about this man was true. And in that place, many believed in Jesus.
Good evening. My name's Ellie, for those of you who are visiting. It's lovely to be speaking to you this evening. I'm just going to pray, and then we'll just jump straight in. Father, thank you so much for your presence with us this evening. And thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you that it is one of the ways, God, that you speak to us, that you reveal yourself to us. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would soften our hearts, Lord, and unveil our eyes and help us to understand what you're saying to us this evening. I pray, God, that you'd speak to each and every one of us. And I pray, Jesus, as you've already spoken to us tonight, that we would see you in a new way tonight, that we would understand you more, that you would take us further in to your love for us. And I pray, Lord, that we would be changed by your word tonight. So we just ask, come, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. So Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. We live in a world where the idea of being like a sheep is actually not a good thing. Even as children, when we're at school, we're kind of, you know, that old saying that don't be like a sheep, don't just do what everyone else does. No one really likes the idea of just being part of the pack. And actually, after all, even in church often, don't we talk about, you know, making our lives count for something and, you know, how can you do that if you're just a sheep? Because our culture actually loves the animal that bucks the trend. We like the person that stands out from the crowd, who goes their own way. Frank Sinatra's classic hit, I Did It My Way, still remains the most requested song to be played at funerals, reiterating the idea that no one wants to be a follower of anything. We all want to be our own leader, to make our own luck and our own destiny. And actually, as in the history of God's people, it even records such behavior, and we don't have to look that far to see our pull towards independence. In the Garden of Eden, Eve wanted knowledge of her own for herself. Cain, the brother of Abel, he wanted to be the most favored. Sarah, Abraham's wife, she wanted an inheritance for him. The Israelites wanted comfort and security. They wanted an assurance of that. King David wanted a woman. Herod wanted power. And the Jews in our passage tonight want a God who ticks their boxes, who works for them. And for all those characters, in order for them to get what they wanted, they betrayed, they murdered, they committed adultery, amongst other things, and they turned away from God. Really not that different from our society today. They were driven by their own desires and ambitions. We live in a world where nobody wants to be a sheep, and we will do anything to have our own way, to get what we want, to make our own luck. Nobody wants to be a sheep. And actually, that's because sheep have a terrible reputation. Silly sheep, we call them. Just following one another, ending up getting themselves into trouble. Most of you know that I grew up in the countryside, and so I can tell you that for the most part, that reputation is absolutely true. They are bizarre and deeply frustrating animals. But interestingly, it's when they're left to their own devices that they end up getting into the most trouble. It's when they're left to themselves that often they do exactly the opposite of what they ought to do. They frighten very easily, they make a right racket, and they are unhealthily greedy. And in our passage tonight, Jesus is confronted by the Jewish crowds in what is one of his final showdowns with them before he is arrested. And they are annoyed. They are furious at the claims he has been making about himself. And they're demanding from him again an answer. Are you the Messiah? How can you be him? And once again, as in previous places in John's gospel, Jesus doesn't explain himself in the way that they want him to. He doesn't explain himself in terms of kingship as an all-powerful sovereign God. He doesn't use the military language that they would have been expecting from a coming Messiah. Instead, he tells them that he's a shepherd who has come for his sheep. A shepherd who in this culture would have been looked upon with disdain. Shepherds were social outcasts who were left alone with their sheep. But that's who he's come for. The sheep who will hear his voice and follow him. He's come for the silly sheep and the wanderers and the scared and the confused. He says, I've come for the sheep who desperately need a shepherd to take care of them and love them and keep them and lead them. And this isn't the first place in Scripture where Jesus acknowledges that not all sheep have a shepherd. In Matthew and Mark's gospel, they write this. They say that Jesus, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Without a shepherd, we are harassed and helpless, just like sheep. Earlier this year, saw the release of the film version of the book Far From the Madding Crowd, which some of you may know. And in a moment, we're just going to watch a short clip from this book. And some of you may have read it at school, you may know it. And it's a book about many things, but it's set in a farming community. And it is quite a lot about sheep and shepherds. And its hero, who is the, I think, very eligible bachelor, Gabriel Oak. It takes Bathsheba a while to work it out, but he is. He is one of the heroes of the story. And at the beginning of the book, he owns his own small holding and he has his own flock of sheep. And the clip we're about to watch is quite near the beginning of the film, and he's come back to his shepherd's hut after a night out lambing, and we'll see what happens next. For the more squeamish amongst you, I'm sure that no animals were harmed in the making of that film. The reality is that without the intervention of a shepherd, we are destined for a cliff, because untended sheep will go their own way. My instinctive reaction in situations when I feel under pressure or frightened is to run. When someone is unkind to me, my instinctive reaction is to be unkind back. If someone hurts me, my instinctive human reaction is to retreat and build a high wall around me so that no one else can get in. Untended, I will go my own way. I will take actions that will end up hurting me and hurting other people. I will find my own path through life. That will always be about protecting myself, looking after myself, but that will lead me straight to the edge, if not over, a cliff. But the good news for us tonight is that unlike the wonderful Gabriel Oak, we have a shepherd who never sleeps. We have a shepherd who says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. You see, into the deafening sound of our bleating and our suffering and our confusion, our fear and our self-pity comes a shepherd that says, I know you. I have all that you need. And he actually comes into our mess in order to lead us out of it. Our perception of being led is often somehow that we are being oppressed by someone, that we're being constrained by something if we're having to follow somebody else. Like the picture of silly sheep who can't really think for themselves somehow or aren't free to live their lives fully the way they want to. And yet the reality of freedom without a shepherd is that you will be driven by dogs and wolves that will snap at your heels. Sheep without a shepherd aren't safe and they aren't free. They're just driven by the elements around them. Without a shepherd to follow, we're dictated to by our circumstances, by whatever snowstorm is coming in or whatever river we've got to find a way across. And in our life, we know that we get sick. People that we love will die. Things that we try will sometimes fail. And we will be disappointed. And people will let us down. And we will let other people down. We will fail. It's how we end up giving up. It's how we become bitter. And sometimes when we're Christians and these things happen, it's why we stop coming to church. It's why we lose our joy. We become a scattered flock surrounded by prowling dogs that seek to condemn us with lies. And the voice of God is the only antidote to the false voices that would scare and scatter us. And we need to hear him every day. We need to be soaked in his truth and his words, because there is a wolf who constantly prowls and seeks to rattle us. Our world is driven with a flogging whip by the father of lies, who is forever pushing us towards a cliff. But the true shepherd, Jesus, he doesn't drive us. He never drives us. He always leads us and we follow. He goes before us, making himself known to us by his spirit. In verse 32 of our passage, he says, I have shown you many good works from the Father. Jesus is saying, I'm right in front of you. I come before you, showing you the goodness of God, the mercy of God. I heal, I love, I listen, I provide for your needs. He goes ahead of us, the shepherd, calling us into the good things that he has for us. And that may not always be the path that we would choose, but it's always the path that he's already walked, already gone ahead to lead us towards the Father. He calls to us, and we will know him by his voice. I don't have children yet, and so one of the things that I find really amazing when my friends have babies is that is how quickly babies become accustomed to the sound of their parents' voice. And actually, within the first few weeks, newborn babies will recognize their parents' faces and voices. It's amazing. And it's because as infants, we understand there is something within us that knows we are dependent. We look to our primary caregivers to feed us, clothe us, protect us. There's an expectation that that will just happen. So I look at my nephews, who are a bit older now, who are 4 and 6, but they still have an expectation. Of course their mum will look after them. That's totally her job. They expect to be dependent on her. They know that's what she's meant to do. And we are made to be loved by our caregivers. And our recognition of the shepherd's voice in part depends on our understanding that we need him. That all we have and all we need is a gift from him. And it's in the decision to repent, to turn towards the saving grace of God, to know that we need him, that our ears are opened and we hear him. And that act of repentance is a gift. It is God's kindness that enables us to see our need of him, to turn the 180 degrees that face to his direction. I know that many of you have quite similar stories, but for me, after years of being away from church and having never really given my life to Jesus, my life got to a point in my mid-20s where I just had something in me that knew I needed to be in church. And to be honest, if you'd asked me, I wouldn't have been able to explain to you that I needed the grace of God, or I wouldn't have been able to explain to you the theological reasons why, you know, my life was the way it was. And actually, at that point, I wouldn't have been able to explain to you what I thought following Jesus would look like, or what that would entail for me. But I think what happened was I got to the edge of the cliff and knew I couldn't save myself. That there was nothing within me that had the power to save myself. That good works weren't enough to save me. That a good life wasn't going to be enough to save me. And that actually, even just believing that there is a God was not enough to save me. I knew that I needed a savior. I needed a father who would never give up on me. And I needed someone else to make a way to him for me, because I would never be good enough to get there by myself. To get near to the Father, who is greater than all, Jesus says, whose love is stronger than death. How do we get near to him without someone else making a way for us? Well, it's why Jesus says, come follow me. Come follow me. That is always the call of a shepherd. He loves his sheep, and he loves to watch them, to tend them, but ultimately his life with them is characterized by a journey. And they will cross mountains and gullies and weather storms and graze in wide open spaces. But his call is that they follow him wherever he goes. Trust him. Trust that his hand will feed them and his eye will ever be upon them, and that he knows the very best for them. And I believe that's his call afresh to us tonight at the start of a new year. Come, follow me. And the truth is, I can't tell you where that journey will lead you. I know that you won't be in control anymore. You won't get to call the shots. And that path is a call to lay down all your rights and all your sense of entitlement, because the flock of Jesus follows where he goes. And the path of Jesus always, always leads to Calvary. He always leads us to the cross. And because of that, that's how he can make the promise to you that you will never be stolen from him, that you'll never plunge in darkness off the edge of a cliff, because he's already gone over the edge for you on the cross. He disappeared into darkness under the weight of all my sin and yours, and he did it because he loves you. And with the Father and the Spirit, he wants to spend eternity with us. That's how much you matter to him. He just wants you to be with him. And when we follow him to the cross, we'll never again have to run at the bark of a lie that says you're worthless, or you can't do this, or you're guilty, or you should be ashamed. Because at the cross of Jesus is where he is covered in shame, our shame, and we are covered in his righteousness. You are set free. You are led out into green pastures. You are led beside still waters. Your soul will be restored. And whatever valley you walk through in this life, you have nothing to fear, because your shepherd has gone before you, because he loves you and he will comfort you and he will make you an overcomer in all circumstances. It is a relationship of utmost freedom, the one between a shepherd and his sheep, because he's made a commitment to you, a covenant with you, to call to you constantly, to know the best for you, and to lead you in the way you should go. Which means that when you set your eye on him and your ear towards him and choose him, the pressure is all off, because no one and nothing is driving you anymore. We just go where he leads us. It's all up to him. It's so freeing. And if we wander, which we will do, because we're not perfect sheep, you're part of his flock now. He won't abandon you. He'll come and get you. He'll always be seeking you. His eye will always be upon you. And so we're on this walk together, the flock of Jesus, and we walk in repentance, acknowledging our need of him, always towards the cross, always towards a full and a free life. But there's more. Because this path also leads us towards an otherly life, to a life that is about others, to a life where actually we're not pushing our way forward, we're not trying to save ourselves, but where we follow as a flock, where we do it together. Where we follow our shepherd, whose heart is always to go after the lost sheep. That's where he'll lead us if we follow him, off into the wilderness after the awkward and the outcast. And sometimes he will journey us into places of darkness because he's come to be a light in dark places, and our job is to follow him there. And it will be uncomfortable, and it won't be the natural place we would have chosen. But he goes before us, and he'll take us with him as he searches out the lost and the broken and sheep who are actually still running for their lives towards the edge of the cliff. And you know, once you're part of his flock, he will never let you go. That's the promise of Scripture. He'll always love you. He'll always be near you. And you will spend eternity with him. But I think that even after that, as Christians, we have a choice whether we really follow him wherever he goes. Because it seems to me that sometimes a lot of our Christian life can still be spent worrying about the dogs prowling around our pen. And sometimes it seems easier to just spend time in the pen, feeling safe. And to move away from the analogy of the sheep, really, we just want an easy life. We'd like a comfortable life. We don't want to be challenged. We'd like to be able to do our own thing like everyone else in the world, but we'd quite like the security of knowing there's a shepherd there just in case we need him. And when I was thinking about this afternoon, I really felt God say, because I really struggle with this as well, and I really felt God say to me, Ellie, just think about what you'd miss. Think about what you'd miss out on if you didn't follow me. You know, the Word of God says that no eye has seen, no ear has heard what the Lord has prepared for those who love him. Sometimes being part of a flock is really hard. I am selfish. I am tough to be friends with. I know that. So are you. I'm just, you know, we just are. It's hard being part of a flock. Sometimes following is hard when we don't know where we're going. It's really scary. But I just want to leave you with a reminder, and this is what God reminded me of this afternoon, of the one that you're following. Sometimes we have to remember who it is we're following, who it is that we're going to spend our lives walking in step with. The path he's going to lead us on. This is the one we're following. He's a healer. He's the God of all comfort. He's our counselor. He is forever faithful. He is full of love. He is justice. He's full of compassion. He isn't afraid to show his emotions. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Everything in the world is his. He cares for the widow and the orphan and the poor. He causes wars to stop. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He loves music and dancing. And if the Psalms are anything to go by, he's quite the poet. He is a master artist, and he loves telling stories. He loves a party. He only knows good. He only does good. Evil and rubbish stuff have no place near him. And he loves his friends. And he laughs and sings constantly over them. He is full of joy. And the answer to every single promise finds its yes in him. That's the shepherd who says, come follow me this year. Come and follow me. Might not be able to see the way. It might seem a bit scary, but he says, come follow me. I'm the shepherd that you can trust. Listen to my voice. Come and follow me.